Well, we started this series, Fight, a couple weeks ago, because our goal, our hope, our prayer for you is that you guys would be fighters. And what the main thing we want for you is clarity. Clarity on what is worth fighting for and what does it look like to fight well. Because the problem in life is most of us actually are good at fighting in some way. But the problem is a lot of times we fight the wrong battles, or we fight it in the wrong way, or we are fighting the wrong enemy. And sometimes we just feel like we've given up on the fight. There are different things that keep us from engaging the fight well. So our challenge to you is this for this year. Pick a fight. Pick what's worth fighting for, and then fight the right way. And fight for what matters most. And one of our biggest challenges in doing that is actually knowing what kind of fight we're actually in. Ever heard the phrase, they brought a knife to a gunfight? That's us on most days. We bring the wrong resources, or we bring the wrong things to a fight that we're not really ready for. Or sometimes we're fighting the wrong enemy, but we're fighting the right way. But we're just focused in the wrong direction. We want to help you get clarity today. And one of the things that I think for many of you could be the tipping point in the battles where you're fighting, when you're fighting for what matters most. And one of the things we've said in this series is that life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And so if you wake up every day knowing today I'm going to have to fight for what matters most, or I will probably lose the battle, is a key to fighting the battle well. Paul said it this in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, here's one of the things that matters most in the battles you fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Now, he's not talking there exclusively about defending your faith. What he's talking about is fighting for this internal faith you have in God and fighting for your personal faith, that it would grow and be focused in a trust-filled way toward a God that loves you and gave himself for you at the cross and wants to fight for you every day. You've got to fight for your faith. You have to take hold of the eternal life that you were called to. Because for whatever battle you're fighting for in this year, whatever you're fighting for that matters most, you will have to fight for your faith, because it requires faith to fight well in every battle. Well, what does that look like practically? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one somewhere on your phone you could access, or I'll share mine via the screen. But Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us some insight in one of the things that could be the tipping point for you fighting well. In Ephesians 6, Paul is writing to this group in Ephesus, and he's telling them some things that matter about their faith and how they live out their faith. And at the very end, he says this, finally, and that word is important, and I'll come back to that at the end, but that word is important because it's a continuation of a thought. As he's wrapping things up, he says, finally, there's one more thing I got to tell you. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He says, there's something that God needs for you. You need his power and you need his resources if you want to take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is not about avoiding the battle. Paul's not giving you a strategy of how to avoid a fight. He's saying life's going to be a fight, and this is how you stand in it. And if you don't know that you're in a battle, you've probably already lost. Or at least you're losing ground. Last week we talked about clarity on how to understand what kind of fight, what kind of battle I'm actually in. We talked about how there's two different kinds of battles that we could be fighting. One might be a temptation, which means I want to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Or I want to do something that's right, but I'm doing it in the wrong way. Or I'm looking to the wrong things to meet my need, to be my identity, to be my fulfillment. Whatever that is, with temptation, you win by running from it. That's how you stand. You get away. But in trials and challenges, you win actually by persevering through it. You stand and you keep going. Well, understanding clarity of what kind of battle you're in is important, but also it's also important to know what kind of enemy you're actually fighting. And he tells us in verse 12, for our struggle is not against, he goes, it's not this. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. Here's the problem for many of us. We're fighting right now and we're fighting hard, but we're fighting against people. And what God says is, your biggest fight is not against them. As a matter of fact, sometimes we're losing the battles because we're fighting against people rather than fighting for people, or we haven't figured out how to fight well, but we end up looking at each other and fighting there, and our culture fights really well with each other. Division, disunity, discord, conflict, I mean, it's everywhere in our lives. But that's not our biggest battle. Instead, it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He says, your biggest battle is a spiritual battle. And our enemy loves nothing more than to divide and conquer. And if you don't know your enemy, just like if you don't know you're in a fight, you've probably already lost. If you don't know your real enemy, you're probably already defeated. Know your enemy and know the battle. And Paul gives us clarity there. And here's the biggest problem for many of us in the fights that we're fighting for what matters most. Fighting for your faith and whatever other battle you're fighting for what matters most. Here's the biggest challenge. We're fighting spiritual battles with practical solutions. We're fighting spiritual battles with practical resources. Now, what I would do is clarify this. In the battles we fight, oftentimes we lose the battle because we're fighting our spiritual battles with only practical solutions. Let me give you some examples of this. For many of us, we feel stressed, we feel challenged. Right now, we feel in a battle over our finances. And there is a spiritual side to that and a practical side to that. And if you only choose one, you will probably lose the battle. For instance, some of the way we're spiritually fighting for our financial life is we're praying that God would help us pick some numbers, or a benevolent relative might look our way, and we're praying for a spiritual solution, but we're really not spiritually fighting. You know, the Bible has so much to say about money. And there are spiritual solutions for our finances. That's one of the reasons we offer Financial Peace University here. And it's starting February 11th. If you're in a financial battle in your life right now, you need to get some spiritual solutions and practical solutions. At the end of the day, a budget is a great tool that helps me. But at the same time, if I'm not aware that finances and money and possessions can spiritually have an impact on my life and my faith can impact how I handle my finances, we're going to lose that battle. It's both spiritual and practical. And some of us have been fighting practically. I'll just get another job. We'll try and do this. We'll try and do this. That's great. But have you ever involved God in your finances? The one who gives us everything we have. I think a lot of our fights are both spiritual and practical. The problem is we only fight for them practically, not spiritually. Think about your relationships. If you have relationships that have challenges right now and you're only looking for practical solutions, God created you both. Like, He's the designer. His insight into who you are and how you were designed to fit together. You need that. You need His strength and His power in that relationship, because if two broken and messy people come together, it doesn't two broken pieces make whole. We need the wholeness of Jesus Christ in our life. We need His wisdom. We need His power. We need His strength. But we're only looking for practical solutions. But we need those too. Because ultimately what we find out in our spiritual fight is God eventually says, I want to help you, but you're involved. You might have to do something differently. And maybe that's why we don't involve Him in our fights. God, I want you to fight for me and change everything except the stuff I want to stay the same. Let's talk about some things with our health. Let's specifically talk about something that I think is a real challenge for many of us, is our mental health. If you battle with depression, if you've got past hurts, habits, and hang-ups, sometimes we're looking to try and just pray. Our spiritual solution is, God, change me, heal me, help me. And I think He'll answer that, but eventually He might ask you to do something practically and spiritually to engage in that battle. Like, what Mark talked about, group link, joining, finding a group of people that you can do life with is part of fighting well. Finding someone who's an expert, who's been trained to understand God has given us this amazingly creative and powerful mind and an emotional part of who we are, all of who we are. God wants us to involve him in all of that. But sometimes he'll say, you know what though? You might need to practically get someone to come to your side and help you with this. I think the fight is both. But I think we're most likely to neglect the spiritual side of it. And when we do think we're going to fight spiritually, I'll use the analogy of having a flat tire. I have, you know, let's say I have a flat tire. I pull over on the side of the road. I'm going to spiritually fight this battle. God, please help me. And he says, I did. I put a jack and a spare tire in your trunk. It's your fight. You didn't fall. You didn't listen to your dad when he tried to teach you how to change a tire. Like at some point, God says, I need you to get up and do something. There's a group of guys and I meet at Rudy's on Friday mornings, and we study one chapter of the Bible every week, and we read and reflect on it. And we're reading Nehemiah right now. Nehemiah became aware of a real practical problem that also had spiritual implications. His hometown, where he had been, had not been back to in a long time, was in ruins. The wall was a mess. And Nehemiah hears about it, and he's brokenhearted. He's sad. And he says, God, I need you to do something. And then he says, amen. You know what he does? He gets up and he starts doing something, but saying, God, I can't do this if you're not with me, but if you're for this battle, I'm willing to fight. And at one point, he looks at the people when he's trying to rally his hometown to say, we've got to put a wall around our city to show that this place matters, and because the people here matters. And he tells them, fight for your family. Fight for your friends. Engage it spiritually. Pray spiritually. God, what is it you actually want me to do here? And practically actually go do something. If you're in a place where you struggle with depression, I believe there are some people that have jobs like me as pastors that would sometimes say, just pray, you don't have enough faith. There are times where our bodies, we're fallen people, and it gets out of whack, and we need help from a physician. That's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help from a therapist. But never leave out the great physician. Never leave out Jesus, our creator. And please don't think it's a lack of faith if you need practical help in your life. He actually designed us with a need for depending on others. And God can bring health and healing to you. So talk to him about it. But don't fight that battle alone. And for many of us, we're fighting our spiritual battles with only practical solutions, but don't leave out the practical. But for many of us, our temptation, our challenge will be, I want to try and solve it on my own, then I'll ask God for help. What if you involved him in step one? God, I need help. I need you with me this whole time. What do you want me to do? And then Paul actually gives this list of what it looks like to put on the armor of God. And it could be that he's sitting there looking at a Roman soldier as he's thinking about what God wants to provide spiritually for his battles, because he starts rattling off this armor that he would have seen on soldiers walking all around him in a Roman Empire. He says this in verse 14, and basically what he says is this. I'll summarize the whole chapter. The question you need to ask yourself is, am I utilizing every resource God has provided to stand and to fight? That's the question you have to answer. And he says this in verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he goes through these items and he says, the first one he lists is the belt of truth. I don't know if it's a coincidence it's first on the list or if it's by intent. Maybe it is first priority that truth is necessary to win your battles. If you're deceived or if you're not leaning into truth, if you don't have a reality, you're going to be fighting some imaginary battles or the wrong battles in the wrong way. Clarity, again, is what we want for you. And God says, you need the belt of truth because it holds a lot of things up. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate on armor protected the heart, the life center of somebody. Righteousness means can have right standing with God. It's our identity of who we are, and more importantly, who we are in Christ. And if that's ever compromised, we are set up to lose the battle. Understanding who you are and who you are in Christ is critical. Then he makes this observation about its feet fitted with the readiness to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. There's something about it's not just kind of protecting yourself, but it's really engaging in the mission of God. And I think there is something catalytic that does something in our life, in our faith, when we're engaged in a mission that's beyond just ourselves. But somehow the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not just for us, but for everybody. The good news of Jesus is that you're an adopted child of God because of what Jesus has done for you. When you give your life to him, he gives his life to you. You're an adopted child of the Most High God. You're also not an only child. And there are other orphans waiting to be adopted into this family. And there's something about your feet fitted with that readiness. What if engaging in God's mission? What if sharing God's love with somebody else, God's good news with somebody else, is a catalytic event in your life that does something for your faith, not just for theirs? Then he mentions the shield of faith, this trust and belief in God's perspective, in God's power, that he is who he says he is. And we've said it throughout this series, faith is your greatest asset, not just in the fight, but in life. And here he compares it to the shield of faith, which can extinguish the fiery arrows of the evil one. It helps you understand what is true, what is false. But most importantly, it helps you understand who God is. It's faith in him. The helmet of salvation, the head, was one of the critical things to protect in a battle. We see it today in sports, that helmets and how you care for the mind, especially with concussions, is critical. The head, the mind, that's where battles are fought about doubts about who God is and who I am in Christ. And just like God wants to protect us and preserve us in the battle, we have an enemy spiritually, is what Paul tells us, that wants to divide us, not just from each other, but divide us from our Heavenly Father. You don't matter that much to him. That's where faith extinguishes that dart, but you've got to protect that in terms of understanding that it is your salvation, is what Jesus has done for you at the cross. That is the ultimate battle that has been won for you. Don't ever doubt that what God has done for you is enough, and you are enough exclusively because of Jesus. And then he talks about the sword of the Spirit. And this one he actually clarifies, it's the Word of God. The Greek word he uses here is different than in some other places. A lot of times it's this Greek word logos, but this one, it's a different word, rhema. It literally means the spoken, pronounced Word of God, the truth of God. Either it's being preached, it's being spoken. What's so great is I saw that lived out this week. Wednesday night, my daughter had gymnastics, and so it was just me and my son, and I said, hey, let's come up, because Wednesday night's a really great place to be if you're a 6th through 12th grader. And sometimes I wish I was a 6th through 12th grader, and I act like one. I thought, I might as well go up there anyway. So I was just kind of came in and was sitting in the back while they were doing worship together, and Tammy was teaching and talking about how important God's truth is in our life. And she challenged the students, 6th through 12th graders, to do what we've challenged lots of you to do, is to share your verse. If there's a verse that God's using or he has used in your life, share it with others, and that's actually our reading plan right now. We always believe engaging Scripture is important at Live Oak. We always have a reading plan, and right now, instead of doing a chapter a day, we're doing a verse of the day that's completely comprised of verses that people here at Live Oak have submitted. And she challenged the students, these 6th through 12th graders, share your verse with each other. Go to your small groups and share it. And then share it in your group me and share it through the app, and let's share it with Live Oak in general. And do you know that half of the March reading plan for Live Oak is now comprised of by our student ministry, 6th through 12th graders who shared their verse, and I was like, I can't wait to share this with Live Oak. This is going to help somebody in their spiritual battle. 6th through 12th graders, the only reason the whole month isn't filled up is because we're not repeating chapters of the Bible. Ephesians 4, Philippians 4, Psalm 139, Matthew 5, we've got lots of submissions from those chapters. So we can't use them again, at least for these 3 months. But I loved seeing students, and I got screenshotted a couple of the conversations they were having. as they were encouraging others, saying, this is the verse for me. I read this every morning to remember who I am in Christ. It's an eighth grader. I read this every day to remember I'm fighting a battle with a God who's fighting for me. That was a sophomore in high school. When we share our verse with each other, not on our reading plan, but just in life, when we share what God's doing, even more so when we utilize God's truth in our lives, you are fighting, and you are fighting well. And God's truth is powerful. So powerful that it's the only piece of the armor that is actually an offensive weapon. Everything else is defensive and protective. When Paul does this imagery. Except the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the only offensive weapon. And some of you, you're not going to a gunfight with a knife. You're going to a fight without a weapon at all. Because we're ignoring God's truth. We're not utilizing it in our life. And we're setting ourselves up to fail. When God says, I've given you a resource that's better than anything you can find practically anywhere in this world. Then he goes on to say this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That there's something about prayer that really does matter. Now, I do think a lot of times what we do is we'll pray for a God to do something, but we don't actually do anything different. C.S. Lewis said, what I find when I pray is it doesn't always change things, it changes me. It reorients, it gives me a new perspective, it helps me engage the battle differently. But I do believe God responds to our prayers and he's active and at work in the world. He's fighting for you. Pray all kinds of prayers on all occasions. And then he goes on to say, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Don't just, if you get done, somebody asked this question Friday morning in our Bible study, or they made this observation. Sometimes I get done praying and I ask myself the question, would anybody else's life be changed if God answered my prayers? Or was it all just about me? I mean, God wants to pray about all of it. But what if you could fight for somebody else in their spiritual battle? Prayer is an important part of the battle. Paul leaves it at the very end of the list. I think you always pay attention with the list, what was mentioned first, what's mentioned last, or what's mentioned most. And prayer is right here at the end. And it's so important to him, and so is praying for others, that he says this, pray also for me. Because Paul knew he was in a spiritual battle. He knew that the prayers of people praying for him would make a difference. And he almost talks about that readiness of the gospel of peace. Feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Pray also for me that for whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What if we just prayed for all the people in our lives that we know that are fighting a battle, that they would not just win their battles of what they're fighting for, but they would be fearless proclaimers that there's a God and a God that loves us and a God that gave himself for us and he gives his life, his strength, and his power to us. What if we were fearless proclaimers of who God is? What if we just prayed for others who are in the battle spiritually? What kind of impact would that make? As I read this a couple of months ago, kind of preparing for today, I was thinking about it, and Ephesians 6:10 says this, it has this word finally. I've never really thought about this before, but a lot of times if I see the word therefore, I think, okay, he just said something we should pay attention to. If you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Something happened before that he wants to make a continuation of. And he says finally here, kind of like in conclusion, which like with most pastors, you never believe it when they say in conclusion because, you know, I know, we're bad about that. But he says finally, I was like, I wonder what happened right before this. I wonder what kind of insight this would get into fighting well. Well, when you read just before that in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about some things like this. A key word in chapter 5 is submit. And there might be some people getting nervous in the room right now because you know some of the verses. One of them is wives, submit to your husbands. Not a big player these days. But I think what we always fail to recognize, or at least I do, oftentimes we do when we think about that, That's not the only context in that verse. Actually, the verse that it says, it's one of the one another statements. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's to all of us. Mutual submission is God's design for all of us. And he talks about husbands and wives and parents and kids. He talks about masters and slaves. And there, it's a little bit different than we've had in our history of our country. It was indentured servitude. And sometimes it was because people were conquered. Sometimes it's because people were in debt. There are all kinds of things going on. But right now he said, whoever you are and whatever relationship you have, if you're a believer, we need to submit to one another. A lot of our fights are coming in power plays and power struggles with each other. We're fighting for the place of power. The place of power, according to the Bible, is a place of service and selflessness. How many fights would go away if we just practiced mutual submission? And he even gives some ideas of what it looks like, because you back up even further and he says, forgive one another, speak words that build each other up, love one another the same way Christ has loved you. And when you read what happens before this in Ephesians, and it's about loving and forgiving and submitting, that's probably the battle most of us are really fighting. We are divided. We are fighting against each other rather than fighting with each other. And what we fail to recognize is we have an enemy spiritually that is trying to divide us. And that battle is won out of reverence for Christ, who models this ultimate act of service, of going to the cross, of laying down his life, of living his life, of serving practically everybody, even the marginalized, even the people that were overlooked, even the people that thought they should be written off. They thought they were done. God said, I'm not done with you. And out of reverence of what Jesus has done for us, he says, wherever you are, whatever relationship you're in, put Jesus at the center of it, submit to him and to each other. Together is how we were designed to live. So we cannot be surprised that in the battle we fight, we will fight the wrong battles in the wrong way because we're fighting the wrong enemy. So the question I think we need to ask is this: what is my fight? What fight am I really in? What kind of battle am I fighting? And what are the spiritual and practical solutions that God wants from me? Or to say it another way, am I utilizing every resource that God has provided to win the battle? So if you know what fight you're fighting right now in life, write it down, define it, put it in a phrase. And if you go, well, I did it in my head. Well, I'm not going to call your bluff. I'm not going to say I don't believe you. But write it down, because something about seeing it written down helps bring clarity. Then I dare you to show it to somebody else. That's extra credit. But then here's what I want you to do. Underneath that, write down every resource that you think God has provided that could help you win that battle. What are the resources that God wants to provide right now that you're just leaving, you left it sitting in the equipment locker and you're going out to battle without a sword? You're going out without the breastplate of righteousness. What is it you need to do right now to fight? And maybe a question to ask is, if you know these are all the resources I'm bringing to play in this battle right now, and you recognize there's some resources you're not bringing to the table, ask yourself the question, why? If you know there's something that could help you in this battle you're fighting spiritually, and you're intentionally not utilizing it, why? Maybe one of the resources he wants is for you to have some people, to do life with people. Why is it that you're not engaging in community? It's hard. It's messy. Marcus and Emily said it in the video. It is. And it doesn't happen easily or overnight. But is it worth it? 100% yes. Why am I running from community? Or why am I not engaging scripture? And it might be a very practical reason why you're not doing it. Man, I get up in the morning, I'm just tired. Or I'm late. I don't know what to read next. Think about any resource in your life that you know that could help, but you're leaving on the table. Ask yourself why. That might be a clue to what's going on in this battle. Because most battles are won at strategic points. I think the most strategic point of the battle is understanding what's going on inside of you, the fight that you have inside, because Paul said it this way, we need to fight differently. He says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, God's truth, God's resources, have divine power to demolish strongholds. There are some strongholds in my life right now that I am trying to see a victory, and I'm trying to experience a breakthrough in this battle. And God is going to be the key that makes that happen. Not my willpower, His power. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The key part of our battle is knowing Jesus, who He is really, and who I am in Christ. Always a key part of the battle. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, putting Jesus at the center of every situation, of every relationship, of every battle is always the tipping point for winning. And in life and in faith, it's the only time that this is true. In any other battle, you win by conquering. You win by power. You win by having more points, more goals, more whatever it is, more land, more money, whatever it is. Most battles, that's how it's won. Christianity is completely different. You don't win by victory, but you actually have victory by surrender. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The only time in life you win by surrendering is fighting for your faith. When you are crucified in your Christ with Christ, I no longer live. It's not me anymore. It's Jesus Christ. He's at the center. He has priority. He has everything in my life. I'm holding nothing back. Surrender means I give it all up. That is the toughest battle you may ever fight in life. He did the heavy lifting by giving Himself at the cross. He loved you and gave Himself for you. It is my faith in Him and my surrender to Him that I think is the tipping point to every battle. But we like control. We fear where He might take us. We fear what He might ask of us. But at some point in life, we get to the point where we fear who we are apart from Him and say, I will not live any longer, but I will live for Christ, and Christ lives in me. The question to ask yourself, he says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Is that the life you're living these days? On a Monday, where you show up, wherever it is, at school, at work, at home, like wherever you are on a Monday, are you living by faith in the Son of God? Is that the life you live? Because that's how the life battles are won. That is how the most important battle in life is won. We surrender. Are you using every resource God has provided to win the battle? And ultimately, what we want for you is clarity. What's the battle you're fighting right now? And what does it look like for you to fight on a Monday morning? I guarantee you, faith in the Son of God is the best resource you could bring to any battle you are fighting. And if it doesn't make a difference in that battle, it's probably not a battle worth fighting for. But fighting for your family, fighting for your marriage, fighting for whatever it is you're fighting for right now, fighting for your faith, Jesus Christ, I promise you, is at the center of the battle, and He wants to get in, not just to your battle, but into your life at the very center. Let's stand for closing prayer. Hey, if you're a college-age student or you know a college-age student, I want to invite you to join a bunch of other college-age folks and some people that really enjoy hanging out with college-age folks at Cane's today. It's the one by the mall, 12:30. Look for some people wearing a Connection shirt and enjoy the deliciousness that is Cane's today at 12:30. And if you can't make that one, there's another one coming up February 2nd somewhere else. But if you know a college-age student, help them get connected. Don't let them do life alone either. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks that you love us and you gave your life for us so you could give your life to us. I do pray for clarity for the battles we're fighting right now. Help us to have the clarity to understand that there is a bigger spiritual battle going on than a lot of times we will recognize. And it requires us to fight spiritually and practically, to actually engage it, to do something. I pray that everything we do will be done by faith in you and be led by you and be driven by you. And God, I pray that many of us, we've been fighting for a long time because we want to hold on to some ground in our life and think that we could run it better and rule it better than you. But help us to have the courage to surrender, to raise the white flag. The irony that that's the only time in life where when you surrender, you win. God, help us to raise the white flag so we can truly win and experience the life that you have for us that can only be found in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for being here. If you'd like to talk, I'll be down at the front. And if we've never met, I'd love to meet you. Come introduce yourself. To the walls break.